You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, bringing in Allison Footer, who was a regular on the show, and now it's been 4 years, so we've got our 4 years where we haven't had her on. So now we're bringing her in once again. What's up, Scrunchy?
I feel like I'm nearing retirement. I'm always like reminded of the passage of time when I talk to you guys, because then I remember that we're all still alive, which is a good thing.
Well, I saw you on last weekend or wherever. You were on the Astros pre and post, brought back memories of we used to do that together quite a bit. We were out at Minute Maid quite a bit together. You used to work for the organization, you know. So when we put out the that you were going to be on the show, some Astros fans are kind of a little pissed off at you. And
really?
you act like you know this.
Yeah, you probably are aware of this situation. I was with you though. I did not like the Roberto Osuna signing. I don't want to root for that guy. I just didn't. I thought it was the beginning of the dark side of this organization, and maybe it karma came to hit the organization because they signed Osuna. But you were putting the domestic violence hotline out every time that he pitched. But my question to you is, was that just because you worked for the Astros? Because you didn't do that when Aroldis Chapman came into the game, right?
Oh, is this okay? So we're gonna. This is why you guys wanted me on the show.
No, not at all. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I have. First of all, people need to stop living their lives on Twitter and thinking that if what you do and say on Twitter is like the most important thing in the world, and perhaps find something else to do. I have said things about Aroldis Chapman, so saying that I haven't would be incorrect. And basically I tweeted out those phone numbers a couple of times, and then I was just going to do it like two or three times. And then the, whack job people with no lives on Twitter, it was like this firestorm. And so I just kept doing it. Like, well, you can't give these idiots what they want. So, right.
I just kept the numbers. So it's almost like a back in your face. But this is what I don't understand. If you don't like something, you can ignore, you can mute, you can block, whatever you want to do. Like, it's amazing that people don't just erase
nuts.
Things out of their lives that they don't like on social media. Just take it out, and you're good.
Yeah,
and you're fine. I don't understand why the comments that people make.
And I'm not rehashing. I agreed with you. I agree. I was anti Osuna. I didn't like any. There was something uncomfortable every time he came into the game. We haven't talked in a while, and I was just wondering is that stuff all died down now for you?
I don't actually read any comments. To me, on Twitter, the only people that I see that tweet me are people I follow. So I don't actually see like what you're seeing. I also do not. I literally do not care about people on Twitter. Like, when the dumbest people on the planet now have a way to speak directly to a person, these people do not matter in my world. So that's probably something everybody needs to know. Number one. I probably muted you like years ago. And number two, it's been 2 years since I set my settings so that I do not see the general public tweeting me. So if that's the message that I could get out right now, and I don't care. Like, here's the thing about Twitter, and I have told my colleagues this. Like, this is not representative of society. This is not representative of the baseball watching public. This is a very, very small segment of people who whatever they want to think, whatever they want to feel. But it's not representative of the larger population, because most normal people are just going about their lives and not finding things to be furious on Twitter.
You know, it's funny.
So, to those people, do something else. That's all I'm saying. Do something else.
And what I find funny is that a lot of the same people who are the worst about making sure that they're anti and they're negative, they'll also complain that, man, Twitter's ruining everything. The people, on the other side of whatever their side is, they won't like that. The fact is, what is dangerous is thinking that Twitter, I deal with people on Twitter, negative stuff about, you know, when it comes to draft stuff, and then it takes off. But it's a different thing when you're targeted as harassment, like Allison has been. When it's targeted harassment, you feel like the whole world is on top of you. It is incredible how quick that can flip on you and be overwhelming. People don't know it until they've been part of it. They don't have any idea even how a relatively small amount can feel like. But it can also make you feel like this is the world that you live in. And it's just like Allison said. Yeah, it's important to realize this is not the actual world.
It is not the world. Like, I could sit there and say, like, I deal with great people and awful people every single day. And then when I stopped looking at Twitter, I stopped meeting awful people. Like, these are the dregs of the earth that do this stuff. And so they have no place in my world. And I'm guessing that they have actually no place in the people's world who they're actually interacting with.
Oh, no.
So, there's probably bigger issues going on with these people. I don't care about.
Or in a lot of cases,
which is why I don't read this stuff.
Yeah. Or in a lot of cases, the people that they're defending, they don't care about you. So you can stop defending them. So Allison Footer is with us here on ESPN. 97.5 and 92.5.
Would you like for us to keep going down that path?
No.
You want to move on?
Let's move on.
I want to talk about the Astros not going to the All-Star game. And we were thinking that maybe in the future there will be some, you know, that fans are going to say, well, the Astros don't want to be there anyway. We're not going to vote for them. Or Major League Baseball, if the managers or the players or whatever, are there's going to be some backlash to all four Astros not going. What do you think is what happens going forward with the Astros in the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, the commissioner actually made a point yesterday that I didn't know, and that's that it's in the basic agreement. There's a provision in the basic agreement that you are required to go unless you're injured, or some extreme circumstance. And, I mean, the thing is that, like, in Houston, when these guys all opted out and they gave their excuses, like, the Houston reporters did not ask if this had anything to do with, like, the fallout from, you know, I mean, you don't want to be booed or you don't want to face the other teammates. Like, nobody asked these questions. So we really I don't know that we know the full story, but, I mean, Brian Presley's wife is about to give birth, and, like, that's a really good reason not to go. But, I mean, it seems very fishy. And some other guys didn't go. And, like, you know, you can't tell me you have, like, you're nursing a leg injury and then, like, hit, you know, three walk-off homers. I mean, so I don't know that there's, like, really a way that they're going to be able to enforce it, because I don't think this is going to be, like, the thing that the commissioner wants to make an issue of. You know, there's a lot of contention between the two sides, and so it's probably, you know, not. I don't see anything coming of it. But yeah, it was very suspicious, and, like, you know, I just sit there and roll my eyes and, like, okay, you know, whatever. But you know, if nobody's going to ask any tough questions in the city, which they don't, then, I don't see us finding any answers.
Well, no, and DeGrom did it too. So, I mean, DeGrom just said, I ain't going, you know. So it wasn't only then. But I know Carlos and Altuve had a plan before. It was a little surprising that Presley but here's the deal is, how awkward would it have been with those guys in that locker room with a lot of guys that said a lot of stuff about the scandal? And you know, the Astros, they're taking it. They're taking it all.
Altuve, when he's on second base, or Correa, and they're always chummy with guys who come to say, I don't think it would have been an issue, honestly. I don't think Aaron Judge would have said a thing. I don't think it would have been that big a deal.
Allison, you think the same way?
Yeah, I think that it would have been, like, you know, they don't have to talk to each other, and there's been plenty of guys that are, you know, share a locker room at the All-Star game that were former teammates that don't like each other. I mean, I think it's largely more like a media and fan thing. I think the players have probably moved past it by now. And, like, deep down, I mean, all these people know, all these players know that Altuve, you know, really had very little to do with that whole thing, and that he is just a natural, gifted, elite hitter who is probably on his way to the Hall of Fame. And I mean, you know, time will heal all of this. Like, time will fix all of this in terms of, like, what was going on. Jose Altuve is going to come out of this, and everyone's going to have the understanding that he really had nothing to do. He wanted no part of all that stuff that happened. He won't say it because he's, like, the team leader, and he's not going to say, I didn't want it, but everybody else did. So he's just taking it, and I hope that eventually he can move on from it, because he's seriously, like, he has been hitting that baseball since he was 16 years old in this Astros organization, and he is obviously still doing what he's always done. So, it has nothing to do with cheating, his talent.
Allison Footer with us, MLB dot com, MLB. She's actually executive editor. Is that what you're, national content for?
I am MLB.
Way to go, Scrunchy. Way to get a big big title.
Thanks for reading my Twitter handle. I appreciate that.
I did. What is Carlos Correa going to get paid, and how many years after? Let's say he stays healthy. Let's say he continues to hit the way he's hitting. What do you foresee for Correa's next contract?
That's hard to say because he's not going to be the only shortstop out there. I mean, there's some pretty elite shortstops that are going to be free agents. And, I mean, if he stays healthy, I think that he's going to get a pretty healthy contract. He's just never stayed on the field for the entire season. And I was alarmed when he was 24 and had, lower back issues. I was like, that's a warning sign right there. That's a red flag. Just to be that young. But I would say that he's probably not going to get what he's looking for. he's not going to get one of these, like, Mookie Betts contracts. But I would say, someone's going to offer him a 5 or 6 year deal. Someone will cave and do that. He's so, so good when he's healthy.
Well, the Astros offered him 6, 120 before the season. He said, there's no way. What with, Lindor getting 341 and Tatis getting 340. He's like, I'll
told him. That's not happening.
I don't see it either, but I don't see it either, but somebody might.
Is there a third team willing to pay?
What about the Rangers doing something stupid?
But is there a third team willing to go 10 years, 30 million APY? Are they willing to get it to 300 million? Are there three teams willing to pay shortstops that much?
No, not there's not going to be somebody who offers in 10 years when he's had a history of back issues at a very young age. You don't improve with age. So, I mean, Tatis, they totally gambled on. I mean, he's barely played in the big leagues, and they just locked him up for the entirety of his career. But you don't get better when you're 29. And so, no, I don't think that there's a 10-year contract.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I said it when he signed it. That's a 14-year deal. That's 24 a year. Tatis is really going to regret that, unless he's got outs and he can get out of it. Tatis is going to regret that in about 6 or 7 years, and he's going to be pissed that he's only making 24 when you see Lindor making 34.
Well, isn't he making 24 because of the money that he's losing?
He's making 24 total per
year.
But
he's not making that either.
No, he's not making close to that because of that dumb contract he signed.
He was part of the group that invests in minor leaguers, and then you give them 10% of your salary,
right?
I think.
Is Tatis going to regret 24 a year in 7 or 8 years, Allison?
I mean, it's hard to say he'll regret it, but if the salaries for others continue to escalate, I don't know that he'll regret it. I mean, he knows what he's doing, and he got good advice, and it's a pretty nice place to play baseball. It's a pretty great place to make a home. And, if he ends up being the best shortstop in history, then I guess he'll probably always wonder, what could I have gotten? But I don't know that there would be major regrets. I don't think that I don't think in 10 years that it's going to be $50 million a year. I just think at some point it's going to be capped somewhere. And I think the new CBA, it'll be interesting to see what happens. If they start rewarding guys and paying guys at a younger age, and having $1 million for the major league minimum, things that they can do, and incentivize guys to maybe sign at a younger age. I just think that we're going to see, things are going to be pretty even over time. In 10 years, 24 won't seem like a whole lot. But if he's, winning World Series and he's the greatest thing that ever happened to San Diego, I think he'll be fine.
I want to add, just really quickly, do you hear anything about the Astros minor league system in terms? I know that it was considered considered 28th in the league of Baseball America headed into the year. Knowing what you know, or do you have any insight into how baseball people might view and envision the Astros bullpen the Astros minor league system? And then also as a follow-up to that is how is it a lock? Do you think that James Click and the Astros are buyers when it comes to the trade market this year for the bullpen?
Oh, yeah, I think they need to be buyers. I think that, they absolutely have to be. They're not going to, be falling out of the race. But they're clearly not as good and as strong as they have been in the past couple of years. So I think that they're going to have to add a piece. The minor league system is exactly where we thought it would be after, you know, all the years of having to make those trades to get these guys into the organization that ended up helping them win the World Series. So I don't think you can look back on anything and say, oh, you know, we shouldn't have done this. We're 28th now. You know, that's what you have to do. And then you got to just replenish it. And it's going to be, there are going to be some lean years coming up because, of course, they didn't have any picks in the first and second rounds for 2 years. They've been picking at the end of each round because of how good they've been. And so it's going to take some, you know, creativity and they're just going to have to build it up. It's fine. It's the way it goes. And then, yeah, if they're going to get bullpen help, then they're going to have to give up another couple prospects. So, you know, if you get a World Series, one, you know, two preferably, but if you get one during that time that you were going to be that good, then there are no regrets.
Allison Footer, before you go, you got to draft a team. You've got Ohtani, Tatis, Soto, Acuna, and Guerrero. What order do you take them in?
For the draft?
And yeah. Straw.
Tatis.
You take Soto. Tatis first?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tatis, Soto, Ohtani, Acuna. Who's the other one?
Guerrero.
Oh, Guerrero. Yeah, I'd probably take him last.
Really? Now, Tatis has back problems too now.
That's true. And he swung so hard, like his shoulder came out of his pocket.
Yeah, right.
So that was a little scary.
That's questionable.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah. But yeah, I think I just don't know that Ohtani's going to be able to do what he's doing long term. I think it's amazing that he's doing it right now. And I think, you know, people need to realize that he decided to make himself available to major league teams before he was 25. So this wasn't a huge contract. This wasn't like the, you know, posting him, and he came in and was making the major league minimum. Like, that's what he wanted to do. And so he's in the system, will be arbitration eligible, you know, and on and on. So this wasn't a money grab. And I think that's really cool that he wanted to be a two-way player. It's something we've never seen before, and I just am loving every second of watching that guy.
But he's like Hideki Matsuyama, who won the Masters. I'm not worried about Shohei Ohtani's money. He is just huge back home. Huge. I mean, he's never going to have to. He'll never have to worry about a thing ever again. So
he and Ichiro, national heroes.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, it was good talking to you again.
Hey, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No. I saw you on with Julia, and I said that let's get Scrunchy back on. See what Scrunchy's doing. What she's up to.
Yeah, they run those shows like on the scoreboard, like pregame every day. And I had to cover some games last week, and it was like I wanted to hide under the table because every time I looked up, my big fat face was there, and I was like, "Can we stop this, please?
Stop the bag." Hey, we appreciate it. Good talking to you, and we'll talk again soon. In less than 4 years.
Yeah, make it 2.5.
Okay, 2.5 years. We'll call you back.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
There's Allison Footer right here.